Hello and welcome to the Billowing Hilltop podcast. Hello readers, we are finally on to book 10, Kings of the Rift. It came out in Dungeon issue number 133, which was in April 2006, which makes it 18 years old. We'll see how we get on with it. As always, we love it if you rate or review us on your podcast app of choice. We'd like to hear from you through social media. And we'd love it if you email us at hello@billowinghilltop.com. Right, Lucas is sitting in the drama booth next door, warming up his voice, ready to do a little bit of story stuff. So let us push on with episode 190. Only 10 to go till episode 200 of the Billowing Hilltop podcast, Into the Valley.
The Rift Canyon is an immense mile-deep chasm, a scar that stretches through the heart of the Red Hand Wilderness. How or why it was formed remains a mystery, but its original inhabitants are known by the remains of the homes and settlements they left behind. Stone giants once dwelt in great fortresses in the caverns that riddle the rift's walls, and those bold enough to brave the canyon's shadowy depths can still see massive burial mounds left by those enigmatic forebears. Yet giants were not the only ones to settle here. One such group was the now forgotten Druidic Order of the Storm, and their breathtaking city of Congan Thulnir hides a treasure that could decide the fate of the world. Many centuries ago, Kias's forces, led by the Dracolich Dragotha, were defeated by the Order. At the height of the battle, the druids stole Dragotha's phylactery and spirited it away to their cliffside fortress, forcing the Dracolich to flee the field of battle and retreat. His abandonment of Kios's armies at that crucial moment caused the tides of war to turn, and the Worm God was forced back into his nighted prison deep beneath the earth. The Order took all knowledge of their hiding place and concealed it in a place of their own making, separate from the world, on the island of Telagos. But now the Age of Worms draws nigh. After several centuries of deathless slumber, Dragotha has emerged from hiding and returned to the world, where he toils to bring about the recrudescence of the Worm God. The secrets of Telagos have been released, and Dragotha's minions are on the hunt for his long-lost phylactery, the one item that could ensure his invulnerability. Only our heroes can prevent the Dracolich finding what he seeks. Can they unlock the secrets of Congan Thulnir before him, and thus thwart him in his designs? Only they stand between Dragotha and his certain triumph.
D&D.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
I'm here with the usual group. You know who they are. Paul's been... What was it in the end, Lucas? Paul's been repaired.
Do you want to know the real
truth?
We've
mopped up the worst.
No, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Lucas is under... He's under NDA from me.
I'll spare you the details. Yeah.
It's working again. It's working.
Yeah.
Seems to be recognisably Paul. How is everybody? Anyway, how are everybody? How are you all? That's it. That's the sentence. How are you all? You're all fine. What do we think of that book then?
Book?
Yeah.
What book?
Enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It's nice listening to it.
Clear objectives.
We like that, don't we?
Well, yeah. Although there was a lot of tasks.
You've got four things. I mean, obviously difficult to work each one of that individually at a time, but
there was a lot of discussion about the objectives.
Yeah.
Also,
but in the end,
it seems extraordinary to me that they baked in the idea that you were going to have to go up against Dal Quethos.
Fuck it.
And vie with him and his gang to complete the tasks, but hadn't worked out that that was...
No, I think they
was happening
necessarily
if,
assumed was happening there was going to be a fight between us and them.
They thought there was going to be a fight, but two of the tasks, it didn't specify that it had to be completed. You know, you can only complete them once and it didn't specify that they had to be completed by a particular group, which is an odd thing to have omitted. It came up
almost immediately. It was like, well, now we've done it. Do they have to do it? Mm. It was an odd bit of logic. We just went, okay, fine. You know, as long as somebody does it, it doesn't matter.
Clearly worked in their heads.
Yeah.
They'd written it. It was like, oh, that'll work. Yeah. And then they hadn't really thought through the logic.
Yeah.
It was more interesting than it looked on the page. If you break it down, there's just four fights, really, right? Yeah. Unless the Rock thing was a bit of a twist, and that was a reflection of the contest between you and the others. But yeah.
Would it have been possible for us to get to the Rock while it was still alive, or was it always baked in that they would have got there first?
It's absolutely possible. It did touch upon the sequence, and it sort of said, depending upon where the characters decide to apply themselves first, if they apply themselves to some of the other tasks, then Darl Quethos will go for the Rock feather and will kill the Rock in order to stop another living feather being retrieved. That was really the only nod to any kind of process as to how they were going to go about stuff.
So which was supposed to be the hardest task?
I don't know. I thought the Crathanos was the hardest task in the end, but it didn't look like the hardest on paper.
Mm.
On paper, I thought the Thornvale nightmare was going to be much more difficult than it actually turned out to be.
I thought Crathanos was pretty difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially that really
about
Crathanos
is you were very sort of channeled in what you actually had to do. And it wasn't until we actually sort of decided that what we had to do was steal it off him rather than defeat him.
It wasn't just him, though. Yeah. It was those bloody monkeys.
Yeah.
Johnny doesn't like it when I talk about how all this stuff works in the background. But they're a reskinned other creature. And, well, I very much like that other creature. I think they might be popping up again at some point.
So what awaits us in book 10, then? Bashy Bashy or Talkie Talkie?
Book 10. Well, it's called Kings of the Rift. It is by Greg A. Vaughan, who has written for everybody and everything. He wrote a bit of Rune Lords. He wrote a bit of Curse of the Crimson Throne. Mm-hmm. He's written loads and loads of Paizo, Pathfinder, Adventure Path chapters. Serpent Skull, Carrion Crown, Council of Thieves.
Did he do the Slumbering Tsar or something?
That I don't know. He wrote a bit of Kingmaker, Bonds.
Yeah, I recognise the name.
The Farnhold Vanishing, he wrote.
Ah, quite a good one, I think.
Right. And then he's written a load of D&D stuff, and he's written a load of stuff for Frog God, all of those old school things. And he's done bits of the Pathfinder Bestiary.
Farnhold Vanishing is the one with the lich.
This is different.
He did. Slumbering.
We'll get into it. I'm interested in this one. A lot of people say it's their favourite. I've got some good news for Johnny. There are talky-talky elements, but it is, I would say, bashy-bashy.
Good. Bashy-bashy. Yeah.
And what I want. There may be, Johnny, I can't promise, because it will depend upon how you negotiate the challenges that are placed in front of you. There may be some non-tricksy bashy-bashy, yeah? Which I know is what you really like.
Well, we know what we're up against, don't we?
You like something really straightforward that's just got a club.
Yeah. And a lot of it.
There's no jittery pokery with... Yeah, like a giant. No saving throws. Yeah, none of that business.
What if there are any giants down this thing?
Well, there's always a level with giants in all Paizo adventure paths. Spoiler alert, it's this one.
Well, giants are a classic monster, aren't they? You have to have a bit of giant.
They're classic. They're a classic.
The dragon, giants, definitely.
Well, we'll see how we get on. Where we left things, you have been spirited back to the Primaterial Plane, having successfully protected the Order of the Storm as they summoned a portal and they jumped through it. I think the last thing they did was they shouted, like, write it down. Kong and Tholnir.
They knew their
multiple times.
The portal. And at the moment, it was obvious that you'd saved them, and you believe that was all taking place in the kind of deep past. Not like Silmarillion past. That's all that, Wind Dukes stuff. But ancient history, the classical period. There were sandals. There was a great battle between the forces of good humanoids, giants, everybody nice, and the forces of Chaos, horribles, giant great scorpions, dragons that breathe, great cones of Chaos worms, this giant boneyard thing that squiggled its way up onto the mesa and, well, ran away.
Almost ran away with Buggy.
Point. Almost ran away with Buggy. Would have been a silver lining.
Yeah.
I think it was an excellent ending, an excellent conclusion to the encounter. And there was also that very funny bit with Burple. And
what was that?
Let's not go there.
Let's not get into it.
Burple's fine.
It wasn't related to grid-based combat, was it?
No, it was a very well-tempered session. Mm. I suspect we're going to have more discussions. But anyway, let's get on with it. I can feel Johnny's impatience.
Well, we've leveled up as well.
We're back onto Argos Island, but the storm all around is gone. The maze of obelisks is still there. beaches there with the wrecks and all of that kind of stuff. And the pirates had just started building their escape craft. And the Crimson Spock Hoctor surfaces, if it ever had a chance to submerge. And there is Bondi waving you towards her. We go, what happened?
We leveled up, didn't we? Shouldn't we talk about our leveling up?
We'll get into that. Can clamber across the deck grating and embark. Closes the hatch behind you. Spins up all of the weird magical steam turbine.
Are we not going to offer the pirates some kind of passage?
They're fine.
They're okay with that?
All right.
We don't want to fill the submarine with the pirates. I have to do the accent.
All right. We could put them in the portable hole into the Spock Hoctor.
You want to? Do you want to rescue the pirates?
Yeah.
Just don't want to have any enemies in the future in terms of like, oi, what are you doing, buggering up?
Henchmen. You know, we could have henchmen later.
Henchmen.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'll offer them if they'd like to be my henchmen.
Groxbet and his crew.
How many could I fit in the portable? I could put a few chairs in there.
We're very much on that new wave of role players where the characters drive the narrative. Yeah. The DM is an enabler. So fuck it. All right, then you stick him in the bag of
whatever.
You've got
Cheeseman as a companion. How many could I fit into the bag of holding? A 10-foot cube. How many are there?
How many pirates?
Yeah.
About 20.
20 10-foot cubes, probably a bit. Yeah, they can fit in.
Whatever, fuck it. We'll hand wave it.
They could crew the submarine.
They're bewildered by the submarine. They've never seen anything like it. What is this witchcraft? Under the waves? It's not sportsmanlike.
So what's the agreement if they go to my bag?
Technology.
What's the agreement?
Yeah, are they going to be my henchmen, or are they going to give me some money?
They service the great cleric, not the...
I know you certainly don't answer to a tiny little scrub like you.
All right. Well, I'll just see the
portable
hole out. A favour
to be taken at a later point.
You give us passage to dry land.
A passage, say ye.
You will always have a favour from Grogsbet.
Okay. Okay,
let's just move on. Look after that's the rat. Fine. You seal them in. One of those hatches with the little wheel. It's like, clang. And it takes you about, I can't be bothered to get the map out, but I think it's about a 12-hour trip.
Yeah.
It is the evening of Moon Day, the 22nd of Fart, Bondi can tell you. She just seems bewildered. She's like, well, you were only gone for like a few hours. What happened? Don't tell her what happened. We can tell her what happened. We can do it as reported speech. Also, none of you can remember what happened.
Yeah, I can.
Right then.
Yeah.
During the course of the journey, let's talk about your leveling up as the cold depths of the Lake of the Cold Sky burble past your portholes.
Right, who's going first?
Let's start with you, Scaly.
Oh, right then. I could have just taken 2 points in an attribute, but I thought, no, I'm going to try and do something a bit more interesting. Realising that Scaly really, if there is some bashing going on, some straightforward bashing, that'd be lovely, because that's really what I think Scaly's a bit about. There is a feat called Mage Slayer. And it is...
This is fighting the battles of the... Okay, yeah. No. On you go.
Well, yeah. When a creature within 5 foot of you casts a spell, you can use your reaction to make a melee weapon attack against that creature. Fine. And when you damage a creature that is concentrating on a spell, that creature has disadvantage on the saving throw.
Oh, that is useful.
I
like it.
You also have advantage on saving throws against spells cast by creatures within 5 foot of you. So the whole thing is that Scaly's got to get it up in there.
Yeah.
In their face. Right in there.
Right up.
Right up.
Right up. That's a feat for you, Johnny. That's your kind of thing. Yeah. No more trickery, saving throws.
No, I don't want to go for the attributes. Well,
I just thought, yeah,
what else?
Boring.
Did you get any more spells? More divine what's-its?
No, I might have got up a bit here and there, but nothing really. That was the interesting thing.
Yeah, 16th level is not the best one.
Yeah, 16th level, eh? Personally, I wouldn't bother.
Yeah, no, that's your lot. Nothing more interesting than...
Talking of 16th level, this is book 10, so we've got three books to go. We are 75% of the way through. the Age of Worms as written went past level 20, and I'm trying to steer it so that we run through the 20 levels as we complete the story. Mm-hmm. So 16, I mean, we're getting, that's about right, isn't it? I mean, 15 is bang on. Yeah.
No, if it, well, so I mean,
no, 16 is bang on. In fact, starting
16 is bang on.
So we're doing all right. We're doing all right. Oh, it's quite 17th interesting.
17th level.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
You are. Yeah, because Scaly's a level behind, and some of the others are 16th because they've taken an extra, whatever it is, a achievement slot.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Buggy.
Well,
do we have to? Who's 17th level?
Yeah, so I just took another leveling cleric because I won't moan about Barbarian again. But actually, no, I was looking at Barbarian. I thought, should I try Barbarian?
Maybe what you should have done is taken a few levels in Fighter to go with your Barbarian.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I haven't really explored that.
It's too late now.
But a sixth level Barbarian gets another rage, so I'd have four rages a day, which is actually quite useful because I work my way through them sometimes. But a 12th level cleric, I get an ability score improvement, which I need. So I stuck it on my strength because I'm not really doing enough damage.
How much extra does it give you, though?
Well, I guess you...
Is it an even number?
Yeah, so it's gone up to 20.
No.
From...
So I'm three foot tall. 3 foot tall. 60-year-old hobbit strength. With 20 strength.
Oh, very good. How much extra damage are you getting?
Well, I'm an extra plus one or plus two to hit. I can't.
Plus one on each.
Yeah, plus one on each. But I think going up a level might have helped with the proficient. Maybe. Not sure. I can't remember. Just a little bit more damage. A bit easier to hit. And surprisingly, you don't get another spell.
No, they're weird. Quite... Yeah. Spell slot, you probably get to memorize more spells.
I've not got any extra spell slots.
Another thing that's interesting, because reading these kind of, by the way, we're going to hit at some point, maybe not tonight, we'll see, an object lesson in Mike, you should read ahead. When we get there, you'll know what I'm talking about. But the concentration rules are really, really starting to bite.
Yes, tell me about it.
Yeah.
And you look at the way that the monsters are set up in the upcoming challenges that you may or may not face. And Dan, you'll be extremely familiar with this. It's all of that. They will cast this, 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 and this before going into attack. No, they won't. They can't. They can cast one of them, and then they won't be able to do anything else. Yeah. If they get hit, it'll potentially be dispelled. And I think that that's perhaps where this system is starting to show its...
I think it's a really clever mechanic. There must be a mix of concentration and non-concentration spells.
There are, but some classes don't have as many of them.
Yeah, you know, like 90% of my spells are concentration.
Yeah, it's the same with a lot of the ranger spells are the same.
There's no right answer, but my judgment is that you've got, broadly speaking, a kind of spectrum. At one end of the spectrum, in other games, 3.5, old Pathfinder, all of that, not only do the powers that you get become more potent, but you get more choice so that you've got many more opportunities to match up and layer different things against each other. But it does mean that you get proliferation and confusion, things get bogged down.
Well, you get people buffing up for 10 minutes before they go into combat. So we don't do that anymore, do we?
Exactly. That is the price of that. And on the other end, with concentration, what happens is you basically have one or two things that you do all the way through your level progression. They just become more powerful. You don't actually have a thing where you've got a massive array of stuff that you've got running at the same time, where you're trying to picking from a menu of many options. You just basically got, well, you know, which spell am I going to be using my concentration on now? And something will come in and take over, become top of the shop, the thing that you use all the time.
I think that's kind of where you could do two concentrations.
At a higher level, you could have two running at the same time.
Yeah. Which is sort of a compromise, isn't it? It's not quite the sort of Pathfinder buff yourself up, but when you're at higher levels, then you're at least got the chance to be a little bit more.
Yeah, also, I mean,
you can't combine.
Well, the attunement rules means that also that you can't start offloading that requirement to have lots of different things onto magical items like rings and stuff, because again, you can't have too much going on. We broke the game with the extra attunement slot that you were offered by Marcus. For the fragment of the Rod of Seven Parts, because I thought that was an interesting mechanic to play with, and it doesn't seem to have broken all that much, right?
No.
A feat that allowed you to concentrate on two spells at once is a very, very significant bump to whoever had it. That's what I would say. You can be very careful with that stuff. Anyway, we're not going to do it. Well, not yet. Sorry, where were we? What level cleric are you now?
I am 12th cleric, 5th barbarian.
So you've got a 12% divine intervention chance. Not saying it's going to be useful. What about Parker? If it is the real Parker, have you finished your deliberations?
No, I haven't. Still... Unfortunately, but I'm basically what it comes down to is if you look at the stuff that
is it a level of druid? Is that what you're thinking?
No, not necessarily. So I looked through several options. I mean, there is the option of barbarian because that allows you to do sort of, you know, savage attacks and all that. Reckless attack and take half damage. And I'm thinking about, I'm not entirely sure about that. The one that looks quite interesting is Moon Druid. So,
right, it sounds
because
like
then you
one
can
of
do,
Frank Zappa's children.
You can do things like shadow teleporting, you get more armor class as a druid, and also you can become sort of like cave bear shape shifting, you know, animal form, which is quite, could be quite interesting.
All with one level of, sorry.
No. Obviously, you'd have to
invest
to get like four or five. Yeah, you have to. I'd have to invest four or five levels. The problem is,
oh, so
is
you'd that, start now, right?
Yeah. Okay. When I'm looking at what monk gives you, so like if I go up a level in monk now, then you get timeless body, which is at 15th
Could
level.
Could you say it with less enthusiasm?
yeah.
Timeless body.
You suffer
timeless
none of the
body.
Frailty of old age, and you can't be aged magically. You no longer Ooh. Need food or water.
Yeah.
Hey. And he's like, yeah, all right.
yeah, thanks.
That's long been there, though. Noodle. That's been in previous editions.
Yeah.
It's never been very interesting.
It's rubbish.
Yeah, I don't think we've eaten since we were first level, have we? No, we haven't eaten since Zeech's
banquet. Right, no, I know. But as you astutely said when you went for lunch at the Deluxury, whatever it was, I don't want to spend my money on pretend food.
Yeah. The other one I was looking at is, but it needs a little more look, is Warlock. Because Warlock, I believe, has some things which you can add to your damage rolls and stuff. So that would be interesting. And Warlocks also do the short rest thing. So a monk...
Yeah.
So I can actually get quite a lot done with the short rest because you get key points back and things like that. And Warlocks too.
First level spells, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, you haven't done it anyway. Point is, you haven't done it.
No, I will research and... Yeah.
Yeah, the dog gets it. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do Burpity Herpity He.
Burpity Herpity He. 16th level, as I mentioned, is not the most interesting because I don't get any more spells, which is really annoying. But I do get another feat, obviously, as everybody does. 16th level.
So now you have three.
So I took Lucky, which is not particularly interesting because everyone else has got it, but it's a good one.
It's a good one.
It is a good one.
It's the best one.
Warcaster's quite good. And then I did swap out a spell. So Otto's Irresistible Dance was annoying me because nobody could even do anything.
Not as much as it's been annoying me.
Has it? I only lost a round, and then it's quite a high-level spell for not very much. So I swapped it out for Mordenkainen's Sword, which is a 7th-level spell. But it's concentration, so it's probably a mistake. I'll probably end up not using that one either. But it does. It's like Sessions' Crushing Coin. You summon it, and then it hangs around for a minute, doing damage every round.
Yeah.
Right, you've got some zappy spells, so you can keep your distance.
Yeah, I thought about taking Prismatic Spray, but it doesn't actually... but it doesn't actually end up doing much more damage than a fireball of the same level. And you can't really control what damage it's going to do.
But it's got the one that sends them away and all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you know, I did think about it. In the end, I went...
Well, when whatever it was called...
Only get one of them.
Makar cast it on you. Yeah. You were all ends up to what's it, weren't you?
Yeah.
Many Oort dice were used that day. Mm. Is that it for birds?
That's it.
And so last but not least by any means, hiding up in the cobwebs, little buddy, it is Sessions Epo.
Little buddy.
Tell us about what you did, which is basically take another level of cleric.
Another level of cleric, so that I'm now 16th level cleric, 16% divine intervention. Eventually we're going to try
You have to keep. You have to maintain that distance with Buggy, otherwise you can't use the altar point joke anymore.
Exactly. 16th of Stan says you don't get more spell slots, you do get more spells. So I've added to
spell choice.
Spell choice. I've added a few in there. I swapped out one of the cantrips as well that wasn't being very useful, and I've taken Sacred Flames, so I do something that isn't necrotic damage.
Can't you only swap one spell?
And I memorise some more spells. Oh, transfer.
You just derailed the Sessions freight train there, Dan, or not?
Life transfer.
Life transfer? I don't like the sound of that.
I thought that sounds quite jolly for someone who's hiding
at the back. It does sound jolly, but what does it do?
You take a certain amount of necrotic damage, yourself and you give those hit points, twice those hit points, to someone you can see within range.
Fine.
So it's like a range
healing.
One
person. Is it concentration?
No.
No, it's a one-off thing. It's, right, it's, so it's like, I'll take 40 points of necrotic damage and give Scaly 80 hit points.
Yeah, well, it's, I'll take like 48 and give twice that to whoever it is.
Got it. Wow. Well, there
I
we
did
are. That.
I took attributes bump rather than feats. So I moved my wisdom to 22, which moves all the DCs and saves up. Oh, God. So they're all 19.
18 to 19?
20. I'm not sure you can go over 20 with an attribute bump.
Attribute bump.
You can. My natural attribute's not 20. It's 20 in total.
Oh, you've got,
the diadem, which adds +2.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yes, strength of 20 is not very much, is it really?
Yeah. So the saving throws are pretty good now.
Those goodies plundered from Zosiel's tomb all that time ago, episode 12, I believe, they scale, or at least that was my understanding. Once again, it's not been mentioned. At a certain point, I think something might happen with those. So hold on to them is what I'm saying. Hold on to them.
Oh, yeah, very useful.
Sword of Zosiel, the diadem, Zosiel's raiment, the...
Who has that?
Parker. There were a few bits there that were in that little trove.
Oh, yeah, Dan has two of them, doesn't he? Both
well,
the
I've got. No, he's got one. Now, he's also got the Sword of Icosiol, which seems to semi-pair with the Sword of Zosiel, but that he plundered from Icosiol's tomb, of which a little bit more later. Right, well, there we are. We're leveled up, and we can roll forward to God knows what time. It's not 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, let's say, on Tonge, the 23rd of Fart, and the Crimson Spotcopter surfaces in the submarine pen attached to Markush Doombringer's secret lakebed lair. Bondi leads the way through the great picture window that Iris valves into Markush's lair, where for once he is not asleep. In fact, he is in a state of high animation. Hello, boss. We're back. Shoshun. And we've got some stragglers. As behind you. This bedraggled group of eye patch parrot toting whatevers limp along with their peg legs, banging against the deck plating. Markush is directing his wits as they frantically leaf through stacks of books and scrolls and papers that seem to have been rustled up from somewhere, are strewn all around his desk, all around the floor in the center of this giant chamber. Eligos is there, as is Agath of Thrunch. Markush is, you find this in a bit of a kerfuffle, yes? Bit of a kerfuffle.
What's going on?
Eligos is leafing through what it looks like a register or a ledger or some kind of record book. Huge, great, heavy thing. And she looks over at you guys and she goes, Konganthulnir?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ring a bell?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I wrote that down, actually. Down.
Yeah, you're not the only person that's written it down. Or rather, it wasn't written down, but now it is. Markush peers at you intently. What is it that you have done? What is it that you have released?
I'm sorry?
Everything. He encompasses all of this activity. Agath of Thrunch. Eligos, the wits, frantically going through all of this material. Things have changed. Knowledge that was gone is restored.
Yes.
It is everywhere. It is in every record, in every scroll, in every history. He starts lifting stuff up. Konganthulnir, of course. Of course, it is where they took the phylactery. It is now in the books. It is in the records.
Right. Didn't quite anticipate that would happen.
This passage was not there. This reference, he grabs another scroll. He's kind of using his chin to hold like a scroll against his chest and leafing through other stuff and pulling this whole section is new. It has appeared within the last few hours. Mm-hmm. You have triggered something extraordinary. Sorcery. Sorcery by the imagination. I was sitting here relaxing. I have some sex. I have some drugs. Yes, I sit there in my trainers. Enjoying myself. All of a sudden, there's just chaos. Madness, Eligos. She's kind of rushing into the room. The books are changing. The library is changing. The shings of the wood are not there are now there. What have you done? This knowledge is now out there in the world.
Ooh.
Dragotha must surely know this. Ooh, he has resources. Wherever his secret lair may be.
He would be on his way to Kongen Thulnir even now. There is not a moment to lose.
Can you teleport us there?
Yes, of course. I have anticipated exactly this eventuality.
Okay.
He gestures over to one of the big picture windows and a kind of scene appears. A scene means that I have to look something up.
And we've long rested, I presume, at some point.
Well, you were completely restored.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
When you returned from wherever you, whenever you were.
Right. Okay, cool.
In that last encounter. Do you reset everything when you level up? Did we establish that?
Yes, you do.
Do we?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Recall we did.
Sometimes we haven't.
We've not leveled up in the middle of an encounter, so we've not had an opportunity to argue about it for hours. But I'm sure one day we will.
I'm sure you do.
We should never come up if you do milestone experience.
Exactly. There's the window that looks over or shows the scene of Frostanger. The next window round is now showing this scene. It's an arid wasteland, not in the Saharan sense, in the Antarctic sense. It's an ice wasteland. It's broken only by the occasional rock formation, the occasional scrub evergreen, stunted pines. It stretches to the horizon as far as the window will show you. But before the horizon, the land drops away into an immense gulf or canyon. Marcus says, "It is the rift, yes?" As far as you can see to the east and west, this canyon stretches. It's just a giant rend in the face of the world. Think Grand Canyon. Think Grand Canyon in the Arctic.
Okay.
He shoos you forward. On you go, on you go. It chivvies you onto the bridge across to the window. Are you complying?
Yeah.
This is the teleport gate.
Yeah.
Any chance of a bit more background information before we set off here? What are we supposed to do?
All in good time, all in good time, but we must hurry.
What, are you coming with us?
I must not interfere. That would destroy many elements of the plot.
As you near the window, your perspective shifts dizzyingly. Your view is tipping over, and you can see over the edge of this canyon, about 100 feet below the top of the cliff on the other side, you can see an immense ruined city of stone nestled in a wide open cavern. Marcus says, "Kongen Thulnir, yes?" There are hundreds of multi-leveled buildings and towers rising inside this cavern, creating a vertical cityscape of spires, battlements, and stone bridges. Spires of rock protruding precariously from the cliff's lower face rise up before the cityscape. Some of these spires are barren, capped only by the odd bush. I'm sorry. Or rock formation. But two support large castles of their own and connect to the main city via slender bridges of stone.
Who knows where in the city the druids have sequestered the phylactery? But you must find it, yes? If Dragotha knows that this is the resting place of the phylactery, his forces will already be there. You must be very careful, very cautious. You must negotiate many hazards, yes?
Yes.
Are you ready?
What were the druids doing again? Sorry, but they took the phylactery there. Were they trying to destroy it? Or I can't remember what they were supposed to be doing.
No, they were hiding it.
They were?
Hiding it.
Hiding?
Yes.
Hiding.
Your understanding from Lashona is that Dragotha's phylactery was hidden by an order of druids called the Order of the Storm. And then they buttoned up all record, history, and memory of what they had done within this thing called the Library of Last Resort. They then hid away on the island of Telargos, and then they took the island of Telargos away from reality so that people couldn't visit. And you've just unhooked all of that. It looks like you've returned the knowledge to the world that was removed.
Yeah.
But also learnt yourselves where they hid the phylactery.
So that was all in the past, that scene.
Yes.
Yeah, with the program.
Yes. If I hadn't made that abundantly clear enough, then I don't know what
how
I
long
can
ago was that?
Do.
Centuries.
Not Silmarillion levels of a long time ago, but a while ago.
Yeah, 1,500 years is your understanding from Lashona as to when this all took place.
Rest in peace.
Ah, well, yes, so that's the other thing. One of the last things you saw as you were whisked back to the Primaterial Plane, you saw Lashona fall slain by Dragotha in this titanic aerial battle. So she died in the past, but you've met her. So
yeah, well, ask Hesty. Marcus about that. Yeah, I know.
Lashona, this is interesting. I would very much like to understand your experiences, but time is very much against us. The means have long existed to bring people back to life. What can I say? This must be what has happened. Yes?
Okay.
Fascinating, though, that she was there. Yes.
So our assumption is that Dragotha is now on his way to Condamnathia, if not already there. And then, I mean, how are we going to counter these forces?
That's D&D. That's there the whole point. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a nutshell.
Okay.
In the shell of a nut. Yes. Are you ready?
Yes.
Got any magic for us before we go?
Yeah.
Any useful trinkets that might help us?
That's the same thing.
Don't be silly. Send them through.
Have you got any idea?
The sound of the scene in front of you starts to wash over you, and you realize that you can't quite tell whether or not you're looking at a picture. You're observing a scene in reality, and then the next thing you know, you're through. You're standing on the edge of the Rift Canyon. Let's call it the southern edge for the purposes of orientation. Looking across this vast canyon at the northern side, 100 foot down, there's this city built inside this cavern. But of course, the scene is now alive. The sounds of battle rise up to you. Smoke is spiraling from several parts of the ruined city. Many of the buildings look recently damaged or destroyed. And the source of this damage is readily apparent, for the city of Congunthalnir is under siege by dragons.
Oh, shit.
Do you remember Blackwall Keep and it being besieged by lizards?
The tiny castle.
Right. I always wondered where the money went that should have been spent on that. This is where the money went.
Okay.
Let me show you a new... I think that might give us a bit more of a sense of what we are talking about.
Okay, kind of slightly weird map.
Bit monotone.
What I would say about this section of the adventure, this book,
is that theatre of the mind.
Well, for a book which contains fairly significant quantities of combat from time to time, there's not much given in the way of mapping resource. There's stuff. We're fine. But I think you're left to fill in a lot of gaps yourself. This is a sort of weird mid-scale map.
Mm-hmm.
Each hex is 40 feet.
Right.
So we're not talking about a giant scale, although it is on a giant scale. The buildings are giant-friendly. I think we should get that clear straight away. That's the general scale of stuff.
Right.
I will walk you through... a quick tour of what you can see in front of you as best as I can. What you have is a battle ongoing between a marauding, strafing squadron of dragons. There are blue dragons. They look like they are adult, mature. There are black dragons that look like they're younger. There are green dragons, also adult. But in amongst the squadrons of dragons, this all sounds a bit like gold leader standing by, but you know what I mean. There are individuals, larger dragons in the mix. They are strafing the city, using their breath weapons. Occasionally you can see them involved in on-the-ground snatch attempts to attack or to overwhelm defenders. The defenders, majority of them seem to be hill giants. You can see the occasional fire giant among them. You can see towers and strong points mounted with ballistae and catapults that are being used to fend off the dragon assaults. Also, it looks like there's some sort of defensive innovation. It looks like very cleverly disguised chains, armored chains, sharpened chains are strung from the roof of the cave mouth across to various points around the city to make flight hazardous. Whether or not they are concealed just through artifice or through some magic, it's difficult to determine, but you can see that some dragons have fallen foul of these measures. Let me talk you through the city. I'm going to run from north to south. Readers, this is not going to be great radio. The cave broadly spans north to south a total of 560 feet, and it runs back about 150 or 160 feet. So we're talking about something that's the shape of a D, if you're looking at it from above, carved into the rock, backed up against the cave wall are buildings. They look like they're kind of thick, superior masonry walls. Roofs are composed of masonry supported by wooden beams. Each story of a building is 20 feet high. Doors are 15 feet high. At the northern extreme of the cave, you can see a pathway, walkway cut into the rock face. It looks like that is the only way on foot to get down into the city. And then there is an armed gate. It looks like there may be some hill giants holed up in that tower who look like they're just trying to ride out the struggle.
But the stalk of the D, the edge of the cliff face, is that not a ledge as well?
The floor of the cave, some of it is just open expanse, and some of it is built up with buildings running back up to the wall of the back of the rear of the cave.
But you described this bit at the end as a ledge, and I'm wondering, is it not all ledge?
A ledge is something which is not covered, it's not roofed, it's running along the cliff face rather than the floor of something which is set back into the cliff face.
Got it.
The chasm itself must be miles deep. It's dizzying. Certainly Paul would not be able to stand there. He'd have to be taken back and wrapped in a blanket, put back in the car. You've got clouds. It's that kind of scale. Moving further south through the cave, there is a spur of rock, a spire of rock, a sort of flat top pinnacle of rock rising up from lower on the cliff face that's adjoined to the main cave by what looks like a swaying bridge of wood and chains. It looks like there were a set of siege engines and ballistae and catapults and stuff in place. It looks like they've all been destroyed by dragon attacks. Charred, melted corpses, dozens of giants lie on the stone. A little bit further south, you can see a ladder or a set of steps. It's handholds carved into the cliff face that lead down to another section of cave that sits below the main section.
Right.
Huh? It looks like the kind of basement cave. It looks like the cave where you would put the rubbish. On the floor of that lower cave area, which is also seems to have got little buildings and stuff nestled up against the back of it, there is a dead blue dragon lying at the base of those steps. We're going to call that lower cave the Undercity. It looks like the buildings are lower status. It's more shanty town. You can identify areas there that were relatively sheltered. It doesn't look like there's any fighting going on in that part of the city currently. You might see the occasional figure flitting through the shadows trying to stay out of trouble. There's also a couple of little cave mouths or entrances at the back of that cave.
That's interesting.
Going back up to the main cave, then you've got a cluster of buildings, which we won't get into too much detail about, terracing back up against the wall of the cave. They almost rise to the cavern's ceiling, which is 100 feet, the ceiling of the cavern. You can see the occasional figure flitting from one to the other. It looks like they've all been boarded up, hatches have been battened and whatever, against this attack. As you reach the end of the buildings, where the cave starts narrowing, you have another, what you would now call down a ledge. There is a pinnacle, a tower of rock that looks like it's heavily defended. Then a set of buildings nestled against a cliff face. And then you've got a second little cave that's to the south of the main cave. That cave looks like the high status buildings. It looks like there may be some kind of palatial kinds of buildings. It looks like they're more heavily defended. And attached to it by an unsupported stone bridge, think Moria, there is a great fortress that stands on its own pinnacle of rock, separated away from that part of the city. What would you like to do?
Well, I think we should let two sets of evil characters kill each other and just watch.
Well, we want to work out where we need to go because we need to get there first. So I don't think we can necessarily hang around. I mean, obviously we can because it's D&D, but you know what I mean. Is there anywhere kind of set back?
Can we see the druids like anywhere or entrances signs of the druids anywhere?
No sign of the druids, no.
Well, it seems like the southern cave is going to be the most likely if that's the high status part. If we're looking for a phylactery that's going to be protected here somehow,
We could speak to the hill giants who are out on their own.
Yeah.
Cowering away, that might...
I didn't get how many dragons in total are we talking about? Tens, hundreds?
Tens.
So tens of each, tens of blue dragons.
Little squadrons of four or five of three different types that are identifiable that seem to be working together.
Highly effective.
Flights or squadrons. Yeah. And then interspersed among the number, individual actors. They seem to be larger and older.
And no sign of Dragotha?
No sign of Dragotha.
Do they seem to be concentrating their attack in any particular Anywhere. Place? Mm.
That first island of rock at the end of a bridge from the lower cave, there seems to be some kind of hot battle going on between the defenders of that fortress and strafing dragons. But the dragons are swooping and strafing along the cliff face, and they are attacking anything that they can see out in the open throughout the area.
That island of rock that's accessed from the bridge that's fortified.
Yes.
What is that? Is that like a miles high stalagmite?
It may diagonally jut from the cliff face lower and then straighten to become a pinnacle.
Right, yeah.
But it's not coming right up from the floor of the chasm. The rock itself is like a 110-foot tall tower, heavily fortified, heavy catapults, ballistae. It looks like there is a winch and pulley system that would bring supplies up. It looks like you've got a series of defenders who are holding out in the kind of last stand kind of thing. Hill giants, fire giants maybe? Do you see a fire giant briefly flashing past one of the arrow slits or briefly appearing on the roof, manning a siege weapon? It looks like they're pretty handy with these siege weapons. It's desperate, but they're holding their own.
And where are we?
Yes, and where are we?
Can anybody do locate object? You could, in theory, but the range. No. Because it says if you've seen it up close. Didn't Dan get right up close when it was...
You've all seen the phylactery close enough to recognise it and to nominate specifically what it is. I'm standing you on the cliff edge on the far side of the rift, which is extending off
so
to the...
So we're looking across the rift.
East and west.
Okay.
You're looking across, yes. So it's running east to west. You're standing on the southern edge. This cave is...
below us and opposite
cut
us.
Out of the northern cliff wall.
Okay.
I think it's hundreds of yards across this chasm at this point. It narrows and widens. From the point of the steps running down between the main part of the city and what we're calling the undercity, you are something like 2,000 feet.
Okay, object's got 1,000 foot range.
What does?
Locate object.
Yeah, but if it's down... So, guys, thoughts are invisibility, flyover, teleport. I'm thinking this promontory looks like a good bet.
Yeah.
There's a blue dragon body on the other ledge, and there's sort of a big fight going on, so that seems like a likely place to try.
Can I just test a bit of understanding here? Because of this time thing, am I right in thinking that the druids brought the phylactery here 1,500 years ago in the past?
That's exactly right.
So they're not here anymore. They've left it here. It's been here for 1,500 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't need to locate...
Yeah. If it's still here.
If it's still here, yeah. So we're not looking for the druids. We're just looking to get in and find it in the middle of a battle.
That's exactly it.
So we're not on anyone's side.
Graham, you have basically should have written the blurb on the back of the book.
That does, of course, thinking about that, it does, of course, beg the questions whether we actually want to get involved in...
No, exactly.
In the
fight. Dan's right. We want to sneak in.
Were the druids trying to put somewhere secure that's protected, or were they trying to hide it?
They'd be trying to hide it. They'd be trying to hide it. You want to secrete it away, but also have it so it's really hard to get at. What about an augury?
That's not bad. Augury, that's a good idea.
What we've got is the basement cave, the undercity, has entrances going back into the rock, which I think is a possibility. Then you've got the rich part of town with all the big buildings in it, which is also another possibility. Those seem like the most likely.
The palace.
We're going to call that let's call it the royal district.
Okay.
And the main section we'll just call the main city or the
town.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't we, let's do a commune? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes or no answers. I think. Let me check.
Can never remember.
Never remember.
It's yes, no, or unclear.
Yes, no, or unclear, yep. And we can ask...
Oh, three questions.
I've got three questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
not
excellent.
Prepared, though.
Well, can you ritual cast it? It's none prepared.
It has to be prepared. It just doesn't take a spell slot.
Yeah.
Of course, which is what I'll do with the commune. Good to remember. So, we're going to just ask the locations. Mike, there are three locations. Would it be sensible to start a search for the phylactery in the undercity? the quickest route to the phylactery, starting in the Undercity, yes or no?
Why don't you say, will we find the phylactery in?
Yeah, okay, there
or
you
we
go.
We might need to get something else in order to access it first.
Well, let's try and figure out where it's likely to be.
Okay.
Will we find the phylactery in the Undercity? Is that your question?
Yeah, let's try that.
No.
Do the giants know the location of the phylactery?
Why don't you just go through the various areas, Graham?
Let's do the areas to start with. Mm. Do we describe one as the...
The Royal District. District.
District?
Yeah, that's...
You could modify it slightly. What was the previous question? Is the phylactery in the thing? You could say, will we find the means to find the phylactery?
No, I don't agree with that.
No? Because that's there might be... We might need to go to the lower end of the city.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. We can find our way... We need somewhere to start.
Yeah. Maybe we should just, is it in?
Yeah, I think that would be the best, most direct.
Is the phylactery in the Royal District, or whatever we're calling it?
One moment. I just had a thought.
Mike just realised he's given us the map to Book 13.
I've made a terrible mistake.
We weren't supposed to see the end.
We've jumped book.
The other thing, you would have thought the druids would have put some sort of protection on the thing so you couldn't find out where it is from a commune.
Yeah, well, that's possibly what Mike's looking up.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
Keeping erasing this from all time, from history.
Sessions. Roll a d20.
Yeah.
There's a cloaking device.
And add your wisdom modifier and your proficiency modifier.
So that's plus 11.
Yeah. Roll a d20 and add 11.
Okay.
Well, what's the second question first?
The royal location.
Will we find the phylactery in the royal district?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I rolled an 11 plus 22, yeah.
Unclear.
Cloaking device.
Okay, well, we've had
an unclear answer from the lady duck before. And this is sort of like that, but sort of not like that.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll ask the final location. Same question.
To the main city.
Do I have to roll again a d20?
You do, yeah, you do.
I only get an 18.
Unclear.
Okay.
Well, we know where it's not.
Yeah, because I forgot the first.
Fine.
Anyway, what do you want to do?
Right. We want to head over to the Royal District.
Yeah.
Where are you identifying as your spot?
Why don't we go as far back into the cave as we can? Less chance of getting done by a dragon.
Is there there's a palace there, right? Is that the palace on the thing? Or what's this
one here?
That's a seriously meaty-looking structure, like a bastion, semi-carved, semi-constructed, on this pinnacle of rock that's connected to the royal district by a stone bridge.
Right.
You wouldn't describe it as a palace.
Is this under massive siege?
No, it's not under immediate attack.
We're looking for somewhere discreet where we can set down.
I
think that promontory, Graham, is not a good point because you have to get across the bridge to get anywhere else.
Yeah.
I can identify some places in any one of the caves where there is less fighting going on. There's not much fighting going on at the very northern extreme of the main cave area. There seems to be no fighting going on in the Undercity cave. Yeah. The Royal District looks like it's taken a heavy beating. It looks like it's been the subject of a lot of attacks, but at the moment things are relatively quiet.
Could we go in the back here, sort of
in the royal
district way?
Yeah, you could either teleport onto the roof of one of these buildings that terrace their way up towards the back of the cave, or you might be able to find a gap on the cave floor between the buildings.
Up onto the roof sounds feasible. Let's do that.
So
I'm going to teleport us up onto the roof. In fact, I'm going to concentration. I'm going to cast a, sixth level invisibility spell to make everybody invisible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'm going to cast a seventh level teleport. Hang on, let me just check. Seventh level teleport and then a sixth level, hang on, check ability. In fact,
Yibbit.
If you cast the teleport, does that mean that you've cast a spell and therefore the invisibility?
There's how many of us? Five of us. One, two, six of us. So I need to cast a seventh level invisibility.
There's five of you.
Is there? Yeah, so it's the sixth level. Yes.
I managed to remove the pirates. We're not coming with us.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
That's what I'm doing, Mike. About that.
You're casting invisibility on everyone, and then you're teleporting everybody over to the roof
of a building.
One of the buildings
like the
nestled up against the back of the Royal District Cave. Yeah.
A logical looking building where we might be able to then make
our
way.
You're not going
to
drop yourself into the middle of some giant.
Yes, but
fight
also, I don't want to have to scale some mountainous building in order to get anywhere.
No, fine, of course.
Isn't it going to be extremely unlikely we hit the right place first time, so we just need to get somewhere and then speak to someone using those great dominate monster type spells?
But I'm assuming you don't want to go anywhere where there are any people.
To begin with, no.
What do you mean by sort of?
Well, yes, but yes, okay.
So you're teleporting to the roof of a quiet, abandoned building.
That's easy to get anywhere
around. Seemingly abandoned
town.
Building. Nestled at the back of the Royal Cave.
Yeah.
Okay. You vanish in a flash. What's really going on in the Royal District?
Mm.
How safe is that rooftop that you've chosen?
It's very safe, Mike. Maybe. Otherwise, I'm going to make a big fuss.
Repeated attacks of dragon and fire has weakened the structure so much that your last moments are spent plummeting into a ruin. Rubble and
despair,
spikes with your broken bodies
plunged miles into the abyss.
Yeah, anyway, we're gonna find out the answer to those questions where we pick things up next week.
Oh, we missed Spidey fact.
Good.
Oh, I quite like
save
Spidey
it for
fact.
Next and last time.
The Billowing Hilltop podcast is a Billowing Hilltop production. Dungeons & Dragons is a trademark of Wizards of the Coast. Kings of the Rift and Age of Worms are copyright Paizo. Kings of the Rift was written by Greg A. Vaughan. Music is from Kevin MacLeod and Incompetech.com and is used with thanks under the Creative Commons license. Additional music and sound effects come from the wonderful Sirenscape. All other original material is copyright Billowing Hilltop. Role-playing games are all about getting people together, and we use Roll20 as our tabletop, the perfect place to host your game, and Discord to host our chat. Thanks for listening.
Are you looking for a D&D podcast with a dark side? Something more like Game of Thrones and less like Monty Python? Tale of the Manticore is part dark fantasy audio drama, part solo D&D RPG. There's no plot armor here. The dice make all the important decisions. Join me as I resurrect the excitement, wonder, and emotion of old-school D&D. Made for a mature audience, Tale of the Manticore is both a fiction and a game. It's the story where chaos rolls.